morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our senior pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, You Are a Keeper. It's based on the gospel lesson from John chapter 14. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The first reading for this Sunday is from Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 31. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting, for you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord." The epistle reading for this Sunday is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We make common confession of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe
in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, from the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, the life of the world to come.
Amen. At this time, I invite the congregation to be seated, and we invite the children forward to the steps of the chancel for the children's sermon.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I'm sure that all of you have heard that old saying, talk is cheap. And it means that it's much easier to say something than to actually do it. And it is so easy to say, I love you, to someone else. It's really easy to say, I love you, God. But then again, talk is cheap. You know it. The people around you know it. And according to today's gospel reading, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows it as well. Our Lord doesn't just say, if you love me, then just say so. But he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And as sinners, you and I would seem to have a big problem with this. What are you and I to make of these words this morning? In our gospel reading, the Lord describes the relationship that does make Jesus' very difficult and anything but cheap keeping happen. By the grace of God, the disciples will keep what is important to Christ, and Christ will keep giving what his disciples need the most. Disciples who love Jesus Christ will keep his commandments. Note that the word Jesus uses for love is that Greek word agape. And this is not to be confused with another Greek word phileo, which means a brotherly or friendship type of love. And that's where we get the name Philadelphia, for a city located in Pennsylvania. By contrast, agape love is a one-way form of love. It is not based on the worthiness or the value of the person being loved. This type of love is unearned and undeserved. God does not love us because you and I just happen to be so lovable in and of ourselves. It is not based on our worthiness or how we think of ourselves. He loves us because he loves us. It is all God's doing. It is not something which Christians can do on their own. You and I cannot force ourselves to love another person. It is not mere liking either. The Christian becomes a new creation through the power of the Holy Spirit. Old things have indeed passed away. He or she loves God with all of her heart and with all of his or her soul, with all of his or her mind, and with all of his or her body. He loves his neighbor as himself. This is the love that Jesus Christ has for each one of his disciples. Our Lord was about to demonstrate this agape love for them and for all people by dying on the cross. Jesus Christ also wants all of his disciples, then and now, to have an agape type of love for him. And when you and I love Jesus, then we will keep his commandments. Jesus is the author and the giver of not merely commandments, but all precepts and injunctions, whether law or gospel. The attitude of the believer toward the Bible is entirely different from that of the unbeliever. You will keep is both a promise and a prediction. And what a wonderful thing to say about believers in this world, a world that is without God, that is preoccupied with lust, selfishness, and is totally rebellious. We Christians are like children, spiritual children, who are willingly obedient to the word of their parents. There are very real signs and indicators that we do love Jesus, that we are truly born again. In speaking with Nicodemus, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Visible signs that you and I can see, including the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the waters of our baptism. And when you and I receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper on a regular basis, Jesus says there is yet another sign that we love Him. It is love. Love when expressed by deliberate intention, action, and commitment toward Him and our neighbor. This kind of love is agape, self-sacrificial love. It is especially expressed by what you do. This is the type of love that we see in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God showed His love to all people in a very clear and specific way. Therefore, this love is never seen in a vacuum. It is not purely theoretical. It is shown through what Jesus says, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments." It is very easy to misunderstand this verse. It is not simply a New Testament rehashing of the Old Testament law of Moses. And in fact, the Apostle Paul warns against this when he says to the Galatians, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Then to what is Jesus referring by that word "keep"? And the word used here is not the word for keeping the law, but a word that describes keeping a treasure. It is not "keep" in the sense of going down a checklist of do's and don'ts and checking to make sure, okay, I've got that one, I've got this one. But rather "keep" as in taking great care of something very, very important. In other words, to highly value something. Such a condition is characterized by the concept of the Greek word tireste, meaning "keep," which means to watch carefully, to cherish something that is considered to be a great treasure and is always looked after and protected. If you love Him, you will take care of these things. You will keep them with the highest care and devotion. This is the picture that Jesus Christ is describing to us in our gospel text for today. Because you love Him, you really do strive to honor Him. And we confirm love by what we do. Jesus said, "When you love Me, you will keep My commandments." And He wasn't just merely talking about a laundry list of laws, but of a life that takes care of the relationship between the Lord and the disciple. It means staying grounded in His Word, worshiping faithfully, having a hunger and thirst for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and serving the neighbors that He has given to us and helping to love them. Will you and I fall short? Yes, of course we will. But in His Word and in His divine worship, He will show us His love each and every day. He will give us His Holy Spirit to be with us, to remind us of His forgiveness for those many, many, many times when we will indeed fall short. And He will live in us so that we may also do what Christians do: confession and absolution. Jesus Christ keeps His disciples in His highest care through the gift of the Holy Spirit. He speaks about the Holy Spirit who is to come. Jesus will make a specific request from one member of the Holy Trinity to another. And note that all three members of the Blessed Holy Trinity are mentioned and distinguished. The Holy Spirit will do for believers what Jesus did for His disciples while He was on this earth. Jesus, too, is called our Comforter because He is the supreme sacrifice given for our sins. In His amazing grace, the Father will give Him. The Holy Spirit is a gift of the Father, not a reward for lots of blood, sweat, and toil. The gift has three purposes. He is our constant companion. He is the one who stands beside us. And He is the one who is within each one of us. The Lord knows that the only way that we can even begin to keep His gifts holy and sacred is if we receive help. So He sends another helper, another advocate. Jesus Christ was sent into the world for all people as the advocate. And the Holy Spirit is sent into the heart and life of believers as an additional advocate. Look at Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. An advocate is like a defender. He helps us in our weakness. He especially helps us by bringing to our mind the words of Jesus, by being a witness to Jesus, and by taking what Jesus is and showing it to others. He also helps us by giving us the truth, the true knowledge of God, and by actually remaining not only beside us, but within us. Jesus Christ keeps His disciples in His care by coming directly to them. He promises His disciples that He will not abandon them as orphans. The disciples were so afraid that Jesus would leave them. An orphan is, of all people, the most helpless, even more so than a widow. But note that Jesus does not say, "I will return," but He says, "I will come to you." He came first in the incarnation. He came again in the resurrection and at Pentecost. He will come again on the last day. Where the Holy Spirit is, there Jesus Christ is also. The Christian is in the right relationship with Jesus when there is a relationship of love and willing obedience caused by faith. Other people see it in our actions and in our attitudes. To have Christ means that you have the victory over the powers of sin, death, and the power of the devil. Having Christ, then, is to live in faith, as Martin Luther has described it. From this, the disciples must learn to scorn and despise death, to know and think of life alone. When we have Jesus Christ, we also have the Father. When Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the church. And from that day onward, even up until the present time, disciples will know that Christ is God. And they will know that the disciples are in Christ, and Christ is in His disciples. You can be assured that this also applies to you through your own baptism. You can also be assured that Christ is in you as He reveals Himself to you through love.
your loving of God, and your loving of your neighbor. Your loving is always a result of His loving you first, and His love for you gives you life. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus Christ did not just say that He loved you. He did a lot to show it. He kept you in the past, and He will keep you in the future. He kept you from being destroyed by the power of sin when He died for you. He kept you from being destroyed by death when He rose for you. And He keeps you today in His Word and in His Spirit. And as a result, you now love Him and keep His Word. It is His love for you that makes you a keeper. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
We remain standing for our recessional hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Go in Easter peace and joy. Amen.